Have you ever wanted someone to walk alongside you as you do the thing? You know, the thing that makes your heart come alive and leaves our world more like Jesus than we found it. I know. And that's why I'm here. My name is Rebecca Dotson George. I'm a speaker, writer, career coach, and just all around excited to be in your earbuds for the next few minutes. I'm a girl wildly passionate about cheering you on as you make God known in and through your creative mission. Here's the thing though. I know sometimes you can get discouraged. I'm not good enough. I don't know where to start. I can't do as good of a job as she's doing. These are all lies that we sometimes believe, and I'm here to help you debunk those lies that are ruling your mind about your mission and replace them with truth from God's word. So, buckle up, because I'll gather up my favorite seasoned and rising leaders in their fields to share inspirational stories, strategic advice, and hard-won wisdom. Welcome to the Do the Thing Movement podcast. Do you ever get to the end of a podcast and just think, man, I am not done with that conversation? Girl, me too. And I love hearing from you about how not only the show is encouraging you, but also what God is stirring up in you as a result. And I just really wanted the opportunity to connect one-on-one with more of you. And that's why I've created a Patreon community. Patreon is an online platform that hosts bonus content and provides creators a way to hang out with their audience in a more intimate way. So here's how I'm going to use it. There are three tiers. First is the bestie tier, which will include access to the platform and extra conversations with all our guests that only Patreon besties will get to hear. These questions will not be shared here on your podcast platform. Then there's the VIP party tier. This includes the bestie tier, and you get invited to a VIP party once a month on Zoom where we get to hang out, get to know one another better, and maybe do some coaching in a group session from time to time. And then finally, there is the calling coach tier. In this tier, you'll be able to access the previous tiers plus have a 30-minute coaching call per month with me to talk about anything podcast, ministry, or career related. How fun does this sound? So come on over to Patreon by downloading the app or visiting patreon.com and search Do the Thing Movement. I can't wait to meet you inside the community. Hey friends, so happy to be with you today. We are welcoming back our friend Shanti Felden to talk about finances today. We chat all about her new book that she co-wrote with her husband, Jeff, Thriving in Love and Money. It's such a special conversation. I think you're really going to get a lot out of it. And as always, Shanti just delivers so much wisdom to us. So without further ado, let's welcome our friend Shanti back to the show. Shanti, I am so excited to be with you today. Thanks for being with me.
I am delighted. Thanks for having me on.
This is fun. Okay, so we chatted about your joy devotional a few months ago. That was
super fun.
Our people loved that conversation, and it came at such a great time. And I think this one is going to come at a great time as well. I'm so excited about your new message, Thriving in Love and Money. You wrote this one with your husband, which, like, what's that like? Okay. So what you don't know is, so my husband and I are both writers. We love writing. My husband's a pastor. We're sort of walking into our first book writing journey separately. We're both working on books. And so I just want to hear, tell me about that. Like, what was that experience like for you?
So wait, here's a question. Are you guys writing a book together?
No.
Like Jeff and I did? Okay. So you are just doing separately. Okay.
Yep.
It is a different thing. I will tell you, Jeff and I thankfully have navigated this for long enough that we can avoid some of the pitfalls, but it's kind of like picture running a business with your spouse.
Yep.
And picture that you may sometimes have very different opinions of how things should be run. So just translate that into trying to write a book that isn't about, you know, a few transactions here and there over the course of a few days, but something that, you know, could conceivably be in print for, you know, 10 years or 20 years, like no pressure.
No pressure. So, no pressure on let's co-teach people on how to thrive in their relationship with money. No big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah. No big deal at all. So how, you know, okay.
how do I want to ask this? So you guys co-wrote For Women Only and For Men Only so many years ago, the book that impacted so many of our lives. Yes. And now coming into this whole topic about finances, like, how did you see the need for that? What was that sort of path to this message like for you guys?
So it's interesting. For years, ever since when we did For Women Only about understanding men, mm-hmm. and For Men Only about understanding women, and it put us on a path to try to be very research oriented and like dig out the things that you tend not to get about mm-hmm. each other, or address the stuff where like a little change, like if you just know or just do this little thing or that little thing, it's going to have a big difference. It's going to make a big impact, right? Yeah. That's been the pattern for everything that we've done over, you know, 17, 18 years. We do a big research project on whatever it is and write the book. And one of the patterns that we had seen, like everybody who works in the marriage space does, is that there's a couple of topics that always tend to get in the way. Like they start arguments, they cause tensions, and obviously money is one of the big ones. And the problem that we started to see, we honestly are sort of a poster child for many of the things that you don't do around yeah. money. One of the things that we had seen over the years is that people like us who probably most needed to go to a Dave Ramsey course or go do, you know, some sort of financial seminar at church, if you're not on the same page, those are the people who are least likely to go.
Mm.
And why is that? And it was one of those things, it's too long of a story, but it's one of those things that we could tell, like, this was the hand of God saying you are supposed to tackle that and, yeah. and to tackle it in a way that was for people like us who weren't like completely on the same page, money people,
yeah.
Dealing with all that underlying stuff that really has nothing to do with budgeting and nothing to do with spreadsheets and nothing to do with like getting out of debt and all the technical stuff that money focuses on. But how can you be on the same page, and why aren't we?
Yeah.
To begin with. So that's really what we were focusing on, trying to take a pretty narrow view. But so anyway, that's the pathway that led us there. We figured this was probably one of those where we could dig out a few little things that really would have an impact.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, so we just had my new friend, Rachel Cruz, on the show
a few weeks
ago. I adored my conversation with her. And I knew when Rachel Cruz came to the show, it was like, all right, here's some tactical stuff to like arm you to go do this right, right? Like that's yep. what you can expect. And what I love about what you're saying about this message is, you know, we see money is one of the number one stressors for couples. We know that. We probably feel that to some degree, even in our own marriages or our own relationships. And so talking about sort of the below the surface stuff.
Yes.
Like, what are some of those issues that you found that you were able to address in the book?
So we basically, here's the big picture summary. Like, if you remember only one thing that I'm saying today, is to realize that any tension about money, it's not about the money.
Mm.
It turns out it's about how money makes us feel and how it makes our spouse feel. And it's about all these like expectations about how money should work and all these emotions and all of these insecurities and fears and all of this stuff that we don't even know is there. And it's running under the surface, whether we know it or not. Yeah. It is there. It's affecting us every day. In us and in our spouse. And that's the stuff that's actually what the tension is about. It has almost nothing to do. It sounds weird, but it has almost nothing to do with the dollars and cents. And let me give you just sort of a silly, this is a total silly example. But we realized when we were doing the research, it's those silly examples that cause the tension usually. Yeah. You know, you use the examples of buying a house or a car. That doesn't happen very often. It's all the little stuff that tends to really get in the way. But classic silly example from our life would be, I'm more of the person who's comfortable spending money. Jeff is more of the saver. There's usually that kind of tension with a lot of couples. That's not uncommon. And I would be like, you know, long day of meetings, driving home and saying, hey, you know, calling my husband and going, hey, buddy, so, you know, we've been running around all day. How about I just pick up some Chinese food for the family for dinner on the way home? And Jeff would go, gosh, you know, that's going to be like $35 or $40. And I've got some chicken in the fridge from Costco. Why don't I just grill that? Like, why does that bug me?
Yeah.
And why does it bug him that I would call and ask that? And so that's an example of a kind of like little everyday stuff that causes issues. And it wasn't until we started doing the research and started figuring out, okay, what is under the surface, that we realized, again, silly little sort of simplistic example, but what was under the surface in me was that we've been around like crazy time for scales for the last number of weeks. We hadn't had family time. You know, my daughter had been at volleyball. My son had been at track. We hadn't seen each other. And if we did the chicken, grilled the chicken, which Jeff would do, he wasn't like asking me to do it. It would be prep, and then there'd be the cooking time and eating it, and then cleanup. And then suddenly now it's time to start homework. And so I'm thinking subconsciously, $35 to buy an hour of family time? Are you kidding me? Like, of course. And Jeff, like a lot of people who are more on the saver type, they tell me that in that situation, they're thinking, if we keep doing this, we're going to be homeless in retirement.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's all this other stuff that's not really about the money.
Yeah. That's so good. And I think, I don't know if you can speak to this. I mean, I know you can. I think a lot of couples have a person, and I'm raising my hand as like, I am that person in our marriage. I am the stuffer.
Okay.
And I'm the one that will just be like, okay, you know, but let's say I'm, you know, this, I'm not necessarily the saver. I think we're both kind of in the middle on that spectrum, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but, let's say I'm the person that's like, you know, I don't want to go out to eat, but I know that's what would make him happy. And so I'm just going to go along with it. I do that so much. And my husband has just this very bold, like, you can tell me anything. Like, you can, I say all the things. It's so, there's like so much freedom there in my marriage, but we've only been married almost 2 years. And so, so I'm like starting to get like the bravery to be like, okay, we can go out, but like, here's why I'm feeling tension. I don't know. It's taken me 2 years to get brave in that, Shanti.
Hey, it takes people 20 or 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
So you're way ahead of the game.
Okay. Well, that's good news.
What you're describing, and okay, do you want me to sort of share what
coach me, coach me, tell me all the things.
Well, see, okay, what we discovered in all of the research, and there's more to the story than this. This is sort of as far as we could go in, you know, we did a 2-year research project.
Yeah.
And if we were digging into this, like Rachel, right? Like she, this is her life. This is her whole ministry. We're going to be on to the next topic.
Yeah.
You know, at some point here. But for the time frame that we had, we identified 5 of these factors that generally one or more of them are running under the surface in any of those situations. And so the first step is actually, to some degree, it's actually what you did. You know, just to some degree, it's kind of stopping and going, why am I feeling tension?
Yeah.
And realizing it's not about the money. It's probably about one or more of these 5 things. And so that's like the starting point. Like, it helps interrupt your tendency to stuff it, right?
Yeah.
Because when you can identify what on earth it is, you are much, much less likely to stuff it and just shut down, because it's when you don't understand what's going on that makes it really easy to just back off and say, forget it, you know?
Yeah.
So one of the things that's probably going on is that we actually found that surprise, it shouldn't be a surprise, but hey, we are 2 different human beings.
Mm.
who care about two different things, and we have different values. And one of the big problems is that I am not valuing what my spouse is valuing. That's one of the biggest issues. In any money tension, in any time we're not on the same page, we don't, for some reason, like, it doesn't occur to us, like, huh, my spouse might legitimately care about something different than I do.
Yeah.
And I have to go, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And what you were just describing is kind of being aware of what you valued, which a lot of us just aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, when we're recording this, we're 1 day less than a month away from our second anniversary. So we're about to celebrate our second anniversary. And when we got married, so my husband's a pastor and a lead pastor. And so we like grew up in ministry separately and then combined lives. And I moved wow. like 9 hours away from everything I'd ever known when I married him and moved down to South Mississippi, small town, South Mississippi, from like Great Smoky Mountains, Knoxville wow. area.
Yeah.
So just completely and totally flipped my life upside down. And so I feel like even in the last 6 months, we're starting to like break the surface of like, okay, the dust has settled enough from all of the change. And now we can dig into like making our marriage better, you know? And
yeah,
so
yeah.
anyway, that's been
well, huge. Well, let me tell you that actually the process of money, using money as like a prompt is fascinating. Once you realize, okay, there's something there, like we're not on the same page, it could be a cause for tension. It could be a cause for frustration, or you can go, ooh, this means there's something I get to learn that I don't know about my spouse.
Yeah.
It's really a completely different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff and I, we've been married almost 27 years. We'll be at 27 years in September. And we've done all these research projects. Like, I would have thought that we'd figured out a lot about each other over the years. And this project about money was a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And we realized, oh my goodness, there's all these things. And I'll just give you a silly example.
Yeah.
Right? But like, for example, when you talk, it's too much to cover probably in this podcast, but we discovered when you're talking about like having different values, for example, like there's all sorts of different ways that that plays out. Like, silly example, are you more willing to spend money to save time or to spend time to save money? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, back in the day when we could go to movies, we didn't have a pandemic. One of the things that was always a tension for me was if there was some new movie coming out and the family was, you know, go to go see whatever the latest Marvel movie was, because we're kind of Marvel nerds.
Yeah.
I would be totally willing to buy our tickets in advance online to save a seat at a movie theater and spend, you know, an extra $1.50 or whatever it was for tickets to not have to stand in line and to be sure we're going to get the seats that we wanted. Like, oh, absolutely. Yeah. That is worth it. Yeah. Jeff is like, absolutely not. Like, I will go stand in line for an hour. And I'm like, you are a mutant. Like,
yeah.
But that's an example of, we couldn't have diagnosed that tension. We've been married 26 years and we couldn't have diagnosed what was underneath that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so cool to suddenly have this signal of, okay, there's tension. This means by definition, there is something I don't know about my spouse. It's really kind of cool.
It is really cool. And everything you're saying there reminds me of a recent example that pointed us back to family of origin. I don't know if that's something that you've talked about in the book, but so for my family, specific to vacations. So we're about to celebrate our second anniversary. We're going to go to the beach for a few days to just get away and break away from church stuff. And it was
good
my idea. Thank you.
Yep.
It was my idea because rest for my family growing up looked like going to the beach, getting some books, just getting up early and watching the sunrise, sitting on the beach all day long, reading a book, getting burnt to a crisp, and eating yummy food for dinner and going to bed. That was the definition of vacation, of rest to my family. Well, his family didn't do that. So it's so we're realizing like, okay, we're super excited to go on this trip for our anniversary, but that's not what rest looked like for his family. And so it's just so interesting. Like the longer you're married, the more of those moments that you have, I guess, you know?
And that's a perfect example of you've identified something that's really important that could have been tension.
Yeah.
Like, well, we should be spending the money to go to the amusement park. We should be spending the money to go, you know, well, we're at the beach, but we're going to go do this and we're going to do this and we're going to pay for the jet skis and we're going to do this. And like, you know, for some people, that's what rest is. It's like doing all the stuff that they don't get to do in their normal life. And it's just, of course you spend the money on that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's so cool that you guys are actually getting a chance to navigate that and taking rest, because every senior pastor's family I know needs it. So good for you.
Well, and it was interesting because we had a whole talk about it and he was like, well, is it okay with you? Like if, you know, if there's like an afternoon, I want to go like bum around and just explore, you know, the town and like you can lay on the beach and read a book and because that's your thing. And like, is that going to upset you? And I said, no. As long as it doesn't upset you that I can lay on the beach and read a book, you know? And so I'm glad that we're learning to have those talks before it happens. You know what I mean? Before we're both in a moment where we're like, wait, why did that irritate me? You know? And so anyway, we're hopefully trying to be a little more preemptive about that kind of thing. So anyway, that was way more of a glimpse into my marriage than any of our listeners needed. But
no, I'm sure it's awesome. I will tell you that one good starting point for people who are like, how does this apply to me? Like, I don't argue about the beach, you know, like those kinds of things.
Yeah.
One perfect example, great way of having a starting point conversation is actually to dig into some of the family of origin stuff.
Okay.
But it's, here's the key is actually what we found is that it wasn't the family of origin and sort of the childhood experiences that mattered. It's how you responded to those. Mm. We were at a big church doing our very first sort of sets of interviews. We travel around the country and a church will like set up interviews with people we would never have been able to meet on our own, just so that we get kind of random conversation, right? And so we had in some of our very first interviews out of the very first research trip, we had one couple come sit down after another where the husband said, like the first words out of his mouth were basically, you know, I grew up really poor. Mm. And, you know, we had nothing, like really, really poor. And I told myself, I never want to feel this way again. So we save everything. Right. Yeah. And it had caused issues in their marriage because he didn't want to spend anything. He saved everything. Right. That was his reality from his childhood. Literally the next interview, the couple comes in, sits down. The husband says, I grew up poor, really, really, really poor. I never want to feel that way again. So I take my family out to eat all the time because I want to be able to do the things and have my kids be able to do the things I could never do. And it was literally, and we saw this over and over and over, literally sometimes people in the same family, like we would interview siblings.
Yeah.
Or we even, because it was so striking how people in the same situation could respond so differently, we actually did a little mini study of identical twins. We found four sets of identical twins.
Wow.
In order to try to figure out how do you respond to money? And three of the four of them responded differently.
That's crazy.
It is not your experiences that matter. It's how you respond to them. And so that gets at the much deeper emotional stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because everybody would totally understand if you grew up poor, how you could be like really saving oriented. Like that's not a surprise.
Yeah.
What's a surprise is that, well, it didn't have to be that way. So yeah. What is it that made you very savings oriented? What's the fear underneath the surface? What are you thinking when you think about how to spend money? And that kind of stuff, those questions are so helpful for growing a couple closer to each other.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that so much. Okay. So super practical. We've talked a little bit about, like, let's say we disagree on sort of the purpose of money or the value that we yeah. place on money, those types of things. How do we like sit down and stack hands on a budget or do something mm-hmm. real practical like that when we're coming to all of this with such different values? What does that look like?
So super practical is to actually do what we were talking about yeah. of first, one of the examples is to try to figure out what's under the surface that you're valuing, like not the money, not the dollars and cents, not what the what you think is the appropriate amount to spend on entertainment.
Yeah.
Why? What does entertainment say to you? What is going to a movie or not say to you? Yeah. Right. And there's a lot more obviously than we can get into here. But looking at all of those, what's the why behind it? And the key, and this is really, really, really big deal for people in, especially, I hate to say this, but especially sort of in the church world, mm-hmm. kind of the Dave Ramsey world, right? Mm-hmm. You had Cruz on, Dave's daughter. And I'm going to be careful about how I say this.
Sure.
Because I'm going to get into trouble with some people and I don't want you to get angry emails.
Yeah, no, say it.
But candidly, one of the things we realized as we were going through this 2.5 year process of the research is that in the church, we tend to say that the saver orientation is the right way of being. Mm. And that any other way is not really legitimate. Like, and so the savers out there, and it turns out it's about 50-50, about yeah. half the population is fairly saver oriented, about half isn't. And there's no gender differences. They're all, despite the stereotype, equally likely to be men and women. But the savers all feel very much like my spouse, who's the more the spender. This is the way Jeff would say about me, even okay. though he, I'm not telling tales. He says this himself when we're yeah. doing radio interviews together, is he said, I just thought Shanti had a character flaw.
Oh yeah.
And that is the subconscious feeling in a lot of the more saver oriented people. And I'll tell you, if you don't mind, I mean, do you mind if I tell you a really quick story? I don't know how much time you have.
No, let's go for it.
Really quick story to sort of illustrate. It's not necessarily what a saver person thinks. So when the pandemic shut everything down, all of our speaking engagements were canceled, yeah. right? Like a lot of author speakers and like you guys, churches were starting to go, oh my gosh, you know, what's going to happen? So there was a lot of uncertainty for people like us where our income, suddenly the spigot shut off,
yeah.
right? And so Jeff, we've been practicing trying to talk to each other about money and sharing these things instead of stuffing.
Yeah.
And so Jeff, to his credit, he came to me and he said, look, I'm dealing with a little bit of resentment. I have to confess that if we hadn't like gone to Disney World last year with the kids, if we hadn't gone out to eat those times, you know, last year, we'd have thousands more dollars in our bank account right now that we could really use, right? Like, and it was good of him to share what he was thinking, even though, of course, it's hard to hear something like that. But then to his credit, he kept thinking about it like we all need to. And he said, you know, what I realized, though, is that I was thinking, meaning him, he was thinking of those as being just a net cost, money leaving. And he said, I realize that you were buying opportunities for connection.
Yeah.
You were ensuring that we spent time as a family and that we made memories and we got close and we did all these things together. And now we're stuck in quarantine on top of each other and we like each other.
Yeah.
And so there was I realize now, this is what he was saying, it wasn't just a net cost. There was an investment here. Yeah. There was a benefit as well. And hearing that lowered all my defenses mm-hmm. and made me much more willing to talk about, like, okay, now's the time when we do need to have sort of the austerity plan, right?
Yeah.
But that's the issue,
mm-hmm.
is that so often, from when you talk about super practical, you need to be able to recognize, especially if you're the saver, you need to be able to recognize that your spouse's wants and desires and the way God has wired them are just as legitimate as yours.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about somebody with a gambling addiction or something that's right. beyond what we can cover here. And that there's just as much legitimate to say, you know, God gives good gifts to his kids. Mm. He wants us to enjoy the gifts that he's given us. And that for some of us, that looks like being willing to spend a little more money, not crazy, of course.
Yeah.
But that's the issue, is so often in the church, I think we've gone in the direction of saying there's one sort of legitimate way and one that way where it needs to be kind of, that person needs to work on themselves.
Yeah.
And that's my encouragement really for everybody listening to this, is that both ways are legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to be able to pray about it and come together and have these conversations, honoring the way each other is made and what we value.
Yeah. That's really, really good. I actually remember this one part of my conversation with Rachel. To Rachel's credit, she unpacks a little bit of this in her latest book about, it's called Know Your Worth, Know Your Money, I think.
Something and like that, yeah.
Yeah. And she talks about how, you know, the different things, like we can value experiences versus actual purchases, and how some of those things and the spender saver, those tendencies can play into this whole conversation. And she said the exact same thing you just said.
Oh, no kidding.
Just to like, to encourage you, like she was on a similar path of, you know, we always celebrate the saver. However, how often do we see, how often do we see a saver just withhold, I don't know, the opportunities they have to gift other people and have experiences that matter and those types of things. And so her point was like, there's a spectrum and either end is unhealthy. So how do we find ourselves kind of like splitting hairs and finding that right place on the spectrum where we fall, and keeping ourselves in check there. So I thought that was so wise, which plays like so into what you're saying here. So that's really good.
Yeah. Well, one super practical answer, to what do you do when you have to put together a budget?
Yeah.
Right. One really practical sort of, way of accomplishing that I think is, it's not a magic bullet. But we actually found that it's actually not just really helpful, but it also helps make marriages happier, which, you know, is a twofer,
mm-hmm.
Is if you allocate a certain budget that each person can spend however they want without having to check in with the other person. And the key there is that if the saver wants to use it to save, they can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. And so that's an example of the kind of thing that I can, if we have a certain amount where I have several hundred dollars a month, I can go get my hair done without my husband kind of rolling his eyes, like, why does it cost so much to get your hair done or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Or to buy presents. Like, I'm a big one for buying presents for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a common issue between husbands and wives. And so I can do that without worrying that I am doing something that he's going to think is frivolous, without having to have like a micro budget item that says presents for kids, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I can figure out how to use that sort of fun money budget.
That's really however good. I want.
Anyway, that's one of those super practical things that really, really helps.
Yeah. I love that. That's so good. Okay. I love this conversation. I think this matters so much to all of us, whether our friends are married or they're going to be married one day, or they're married and they're right in the thick of this. I think this is so, so good. It impacts so much of our lives. So I'm going to say the name of the book one more time. It's Thriving in Love and Money. And I'm so grateful, Shanti, to have you today. I want you to share, where can people find you? Where can they grab the book? All those things.
So my website is shanti.com. S-H-A-U-N-T-I.com. Mm-hmm. But there's actually, if you're interested, there's actually a website, thriveinloveandmoney.com.
Okay.
Where people can actually take an assessment. It's totally free. Ooh, and nice. It gives them a starting point. It takes 5 minutes, but it really is a helpful starting point to figure out sort of where you're starting in all of these non-financial factors, you know, and where your spouse is. It's a great way to sort of compare notes.
I love
so,
it.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to have to go take that later.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That'll be fun. Okay. So what we're going to do now is hop on over to our Patreon page. We're going to do sort of a bonus lightning round with Shanti, which will be super fun. So if you are a subscriber over there, make sure you check that out. But for now, Shanti, thank you for being on today.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. I am so thrilled to have you be a part of this community. I wanted to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, did you know that when people rate and review podcasts on Apple Podcasts, it actually helps more people come across the show? And when that happens, the messages we're sharing get spread even further and we get to encourage more people. I can't think of anything more fun than that. So it would mean the world to me if you would do something that would take just 2 minutes of your time. Hop on over to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and a written review. Tell me all about how the show is encouraging you and invite others to listen in. It truly means the world to this girl on the other side of the mic. And then number two, if you're loving the show and want even more content from Do the Thing Movement, hop on over to our Patreon page on your desktop or mobile device to listen to after the show bonus interviews, attend live Zoom parties, and receive extra coaching. Simply download the Patreon app or do it on your desktop device and search Do the Thing Movement. I would love to see you over there in that community. Thanks again for listening, and I can't wait to be back with you next episode. Same time, same place. Bye, friends.